For one, I'm glad to be home. I don't know about you. Many of you have probably traveled over this holiday season, but I know that I, for one, am glad to be back home. Our travels took us from last Monday morning to Kentucky and back. We got to go be with some of our extended family. One of the things that happened during that time that we were gone was that we encountered some of our family that we had not seen for some time, especially those that had small children with them. I have a couple of great nieces that walked into the room, and I, like you, probably had a similar kind of experience. If you had people in your family or visiting with you over the Christmas holidays, and especially if they were small, you might have said the same thing that I had. I bet you can finish this sentence for me. When they walked in the room, I thought, oh my goodness, I cannot believe how much you have grown. Ah, good. See, you got the answer. I'm glad you got it, because that's exactly what I was thinking. You see, we get and understand this idea of growth. We understand that growth is a natural part of human development. As a matter of fact, to not grow can be a sign of a problem. I learned some new things when Joshua was born. Actually, I learned a lot when we first had children, but as you have, but I learned particularly something new about going to the doctor. I recognized that what I thought you did was to go to the doctor when you're sick, but when you have children, what you learn is that you go to the doctor when they're well. You have well child checkups. Why? Because the doctor wants to help you in making an assessment, because we understand that growth is a natural process in human development. When you take a child to the doctor, he will measure them or measure how tall they are, weigh them, and they begin to look for speech development or muscle, motor activity to determine and compare against all other children in the world to say your child is in this normal range of developing. They're developing properly. And if they're not in that normal range, it gives the doctor a reason to say, I think there's some other things we want to consider, because you want to be sure that if you have the opportunity to be able to intercept anything that might be a problem and to be able to give your child the greatest possible opportunity to grow and develop into the wonderful individual that God's created them to be. Healthy growth, it's part of who we are. We get it. But even without going to the doctor, we get the whole thing about growth. We're kind of fascinated with it, and I'm guessing that your home is not a lot different than our home, in that you have one of these. They stand 6 feet and 8 inches tall in most homes. That's the normal height of those. They're doorways. And probably you have taken one of your doorways and you set it aside and you begin to mark those little marks as your kids grew up. We've been here 18 years now. Our kids were 3, 5, and 10 when we moved here. And about 7 years ago, we repainted all of the trim in our house. And we changed it from dark stained wood to white. We had a problem when we got to the kitchen pantry, because we realized, oh my goodness, we have a family heirloom here. We've got all the history of all of these years of our children growing up. Now, if you're a newer, younger parent, you know that there are more than 1,000 different growth charts on Pinterest that you can have, so you can carry those with you. You don't have to mark a door frame. But I'm guessing that maybe you have one like this where you marked along the way somewhere the growth. How many of you have one of those in your home and you know where it is? Or you had one in your home growing up? Yeah, it's kind of a common experience. We understand that growth is a normal part of human development. It leads me to two questions for today, and that's what I want us to consider today, are these two simple questions. How did you grow in 2016? And how will you grow in 2017? We're here day one of a brand new year. And I believe for our church that God has some great things in store, and I think growth is among those, because growth is a normal part of healthy development. But the answer to those two questions, how did you grow and how will you grow, really depends completely upon what you are measuring. You see, if you're trying to measure your physical height or your weight or the size of your bank account or the number of children that are in your family, you know how to take those measurements. And you know how to answer that question. It depends on what you're measuring. What you measure really does matter. I thought last week, as we were here for Christmas Day worship and the day before at Christmas Eve, I wondered if there were people who had come into the doors of our church who hadn't been here for some time, what they thought. I looked around the room and I saw many of your family members who were here with you and recognized that there were people that had lived far away and they have just come back home to be with family for Christmas. And I wondered how many of those folks walked into the room or drove onto the property, and if they said something like, "Oh my goodness, I cannot believe how much this church has grown." We see it depends on what they're measuring as to whether they would say that or not. If they were measuring parking spaces, well, that's a different story. They would be saying, "Oh my, how this church has shrunk, because we have lost over 300 parking spaces in the last 2 months. You're aware of that. That's not news to you. But you know that that change influences and impacts how we will do what we do here from week to week. As a matter of fact, we believe just that simple change has been an impetus that God has used to catapult us to launch a new campus in 2017. Great things, great days ahead for our church. If they were looking at missions, they might have said, "Oh my goodness, I cannot believe how much this church has grown." Do you realize that from a missions perspective, our church has been fully engaged in planting churches around the world in the last 13 years? And how much that has grown, the number of people that God has mobilized through this church to be engaged personally on mission, locally and internationally, is a tremendous amount of growth. The amount of money, the amount of dollars that you have given as a congregation to support the cause of missions around the world has grown exponentially in the life of this church. So you see, what you measure really does matter. And so it leads me to the question of what should we measure then if we're going to try to figure out how we've grown in 2016 or how we will grow in the future. And so I think we find the answer to that, to what we measure, by looking back to Luke's gospel. The second chapter of Luke contains part of the birth narrative of Jesus. We looked over the last 5 weeks. The pastors led us to understand that there were significant characters in this story of the birth of Christ. We looked at the shepherds. We looked at Mary and Joseph and the angels and the wise men. And so today I thought we would just continue on to complete Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 tells us that on the eighth day Jesus was circumcised. It goes on to tell us that he was presented in the temple. He was seen by Simeon, who witnessed God's salvation. He was seen by the prophetess Anna. And then when we get to verse 39 of chapter 2, the Bible says, "So when they had performed all the things according to the law, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." As if Luke had a Polaroid camera and decided to just take a snapshot, the verses that follow tell us a very short story about Jesus at the age of 12. We've just learned about his birth. We know he was 8 days old, and then we know that they moved on back to Nazareth after he was presented in the temple. The following verses tell us a quick story about Jesus going to the temple with his parents. It was Passover. They went to Jerusalem, and they had been there for this festival, and they had worshiped the Lord. And you recall that Mary and Joseph were making their way home in a caravan with their friends. And like sometimes parents do, we sometimes think the other one has our child, and likely that's what happened with them. But they realized together, "You don't have Jesus, I don't have Jesus, we better go back and get Jesus." So they went back to the temple and found Jesus. And when they found him, he was sitting in the middle of a group of adult men. And he was 12 years old, and the Bible says that he was asking questions and he was listening to their teaching. Mary asked him about this, and he said, "Didn't you know that I would be about my Father's business?" Jesus already knew something about who he was, and he knew what business that he was about. Very focused. The Bible says that then Mary pondered these things in her heart. Verse 51 and 52 are really our text for today. The Bible says, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them, but his mother kept all of these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." I think that it is for us today that in some ways Luke gives us four doorposts that we can measure our own growth by. Luke observed growth in Jesus, and he didn't tell us about his grades in Hebrew school, or he didn't tell us about his popularity among his peers. There were a lot of other things he could have measured, but instead Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us that Jesus grew. Now that verb is important because it's not a completed action. It is a continual action verb, and it means that he grew and he continued to grow in these ways. And so he gave us four ways that Jesus grew. The Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom. That's an interesting idea, to think that Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, would grow in wisdom. How is it that he would grow in wisdom? Well, it's important first for us just to understand what wisdom is. Wisdom really is the good and the right use or application of knowledge. It's not just knowing things, but it is the good use of that knowledge and the right and appropriate use of that knowledge in a godly way. The Bible actually describes two kinds of wisdom. James chapter 3 tells us that there is a wisdom that really is just kind of a human wisdom and from this world. And that wisdom the Bible describes as being one that is self-serving, it's rooted in envy or looking at what's going to be best for me and thinking only about myself. But the Bible goes on to describe a different kind of wisdom that he says is a wisdom from above or a wisdom that God gives. And it is a wisdom that is rooted in humility. And it's a wisdom that is rooted in considering others. It is peaceful, and that wisdom is gentle, is what James tells us about those kinds of wisdom. Jesus grew in this godly kind of wisdom that allowed him to be able to continue to mature and grow. This is certainly speaking to the humanity of Jesus. We have Jesus, the God-man, fully God and fully man. But speaking of Jesus' human development, Jesus confined himself to this infant child that would need to grow and learn and mature. And so it reminds us that in the same way that we grow from an infant and we begin to learn those elementary things in life, we begin to learn to speak, we begin to learn our colors, we begin to learn the alphabet, we begin to learn those basic things in life that allow us to later communicate and fully engage in the world that we are in. Jesus grew in the same kind of way. He had to learn. This is talking about the thought processes and the learning process of Jesus as an infant and as a child and as a young man. So it speaks to that, and it also reminds us that Jesus was a lifelong learner. Not only did he grow in wisdom, but he continued to grow in wisdom. A good lesson for us. Still doesn't tell us how Jesus became wise or how did he grow in wisdom. He grew in wisdom the same way that we grow in wisdom. The Bible gives us five specific ways. There probably are more, but I know at least there are five ways the Bible tells us that we can gain wisdom. The first one, James chapter 1, verse 5, says that we should ask God for wisdom. I hope that that's part of your daily prayer time, that every day you would ask God to give you wisdom just for this day. Do you know the promise of God is that he will give you wisdom if you will ask him for it? It's an amazing truth. God is one of those sources of wisdom. Not only does God give us wisdom, but also God provides wisdom for us by us being surrounded by wise people. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Take note, the companion of fools will suffer harm, but if you will surround yourself with godly and wise people, it will rub off on you. It's a good thing. I believe that Jesus grew wise by being around some godly and wise people. Maybe two of the closest were named Mary and Joseph. You know, the writer of Proverbs tells us consistently that he's passionate about passing on the wisdom of God to his sons. And he continually says to his sons, listen to my words. Take heed to the things that I'm teaching you. Adhere to what your mother and your father are teaching you. You see that God plants some wise people around us or allows us to be in places where we are surrounded by wise people. We too can grow in wisdom. The Bible is a source of wisdom. Psalm 19:7 is a wonderful passage of Scripture that says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting even the soul, making wise the simple. You recognize that just your consistent reading the Word of God, your lifelong study of the Word of God will yield a net growth in your own wisdom. It is a cumulative development process of allowing you to continue to grow wise in the Lord. God has given you what you need in life in his Word. I believe Jesus grew wise there. Proverbs 4 would help us see that desire is a fourth way that we grow wise. The wisdom writer says that wisdom is worth more than silver and gold. And it is much to be desired. It is greatly to be desired. So one of those is just having a desire to grow in wisdom will lead us in the right direction. And the last of those ways the Bible speaks about wisdom is an interesting one. It is considering your lifespan, or maybe considering your death. You think, what does that have to do with anything? Psalm 90, verse 7 says, "Teach us, O Lord, to number our days that we may attain a heart of wisdom." Newsflash, you're not going to live physically forever. You're not. And if you hadn't already figured that out, I'll help you with that today. We have figured that out, but sometimes we don't live like that. And sometimes we don't live in light of the fact that there is an expiration date on our physical life. I believe that Jesus was very clear in his purpose in being here, and Jesus knew that he had a limited window of time to accomplish the work that God had given him to do. Jesus was very focused. He knew that the cross was in his destiny. Mark chapter 8, 9, and 10 all record three times Jesus saying to the disciples, "The Son of Man must go to Jerusalem. He will be persecuted there. He will be crucified, and God will raise him from the dead." You see, Jesus knew that he had a limited amount of time, and by understanding that there was an expiration date on his physical life, it helped him have wisdom to choose wisely those people that he spent his time with, those in whom he invested his life, and how he used every minute of every day. Jesus grew in wisdom. That's a good word for us today. But not only did Jesus grow in wisdom, the Bible says that Jesus grew in stature. Again, this is a part of the physical, normal development of the human body. And we understand these stages of physical development that happen. You can look at someone and know whether they're a physical infant. You can know whether they're a young child. You can know whether they're a young adult or whether they are a mature adult. And so while I don't want to camp out on how you grew this last year physically, I do want to say to you that it's important for us to understand that there is a spiritual parallel that the writers of the New Testament use that follow each one of those stages. Understand what I'm saying? Hebrews 5, 13 and 14 tells us that there is spiritual milk for whom? Spiritual infants. And there is spiritual meat available for whom? The spiritually mature. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14 that I could not write to you as mature followers of Christ, but instead as little children. You see that the writers distinguish between stages of growth that happen in a person's life spiritually. In 1 John chapter 2, John writes, "I write to you little children. I write to you young men. I write to you fathers." What's he saying? He is distinguishing between these stages of growth in our lives. And in much the same way that Jesus grew in stature, I want to challenge you to think through today, how are you growing through and progressing through those stages of growth spiritually? Are you still a young infant in your faith? If so, that's okay. That just means you need to move forward to the next step of growth. Identify where you are on that spectrum. It's important for us. The Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, and he grew in favor with God. Again, this is an interesting idea that Jesus would grow in favor with God, but again, it speaks of his human nature. You see, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in the same way that you're tempted, in the same way that I'm tempted, and yet he was without sin. The fact that Jesus was without sin allowed him to be acceptable to God as the perfect sacrifice for my sin and your sin. See, this idea of Jesus having the favor of God or growing with the favor of God is about that which makes him acceptable to God. Now, it's important to note that we don't share that same characteristic. Because when presented with the opportunity to sin, somewhere along the way, the Bible says every one of us, 100% of us, have crossed that line of sin. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and that our sin has separated us from God, and it puts us in a place of being in need of a Savior. Jesus was the only one who was able to be that for us. He was sinless. He was acceptable to God. He was pleasing to the Father. Luke 3:22 records for us that at Jesus' baptism, those who were present heard a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But more than that, Jesus himself talked about pleasing the Father. In John 8:29, Jesus said, and what a remarkable statement, everything that I do that I might please the Father. Wow. Jesus had the favor and the blessing of God on his life, and it was evident to others around them. You see, Jesus didn't claim this growth for himself. It was Luke, as an observer, who says, and Jesus continued to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. He grew in favor with man. Again, speaking to his humanity, this refers to this picture of Jesus being noticed and affirmed by others around him. We get this because we see that as we read through the Gospels, the disciples were quick to follow Jesus. There was something about Jesus that was appealing, and it drew men to him. Jesus approached the disciples and he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." The Bible says that immediately they dropped their nets and they left everything that they were doing in order to follow after Jesus. Jesus grew in favor with men. We know the crowds followed Jesus. There were many places where large crowds gathered together to hear Jesus teach. They wanted to hear the words of life that he had to give to them. Many of them wanted to witness the miracles that he performed. That would be a sign given of his divinity, of his being the Son of God, of his being the Messiah. Many of them experienced the healing touch of Jesus where their bodies were physically touched and radically transformed in the presence of Jesus. We recall the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, that final week of his life. The Bible tells us that there were crowds of people that were lining the streets. And they were singing, "Hosanna," and they were praising God, saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." There were certainly people who were drawn to Jesus, and Jesus grew in favor with them. However, that favor lasted only for a time. Because what was affirmation and acceptance at one point would become antagonism as Jesus was perceived as a threat by the religious leaders of his day. And you know that the result of that was that they would actually turn on him and they would ultimately set the stage for what would be his crucifixion. The Bible tells us that Jesus grew. I think as we look at 2016, look ahead at 2017, it's worth our consideration. How do we measure up on those doorposts in our own lives? How have we grown in wisdom? How have we grown in spiritual stature? How have we grown in our favor with God? How have we grown in favor with man? Before we take that examination and do all that, I do want to share with you the three insights I find helpful when I think about growth, about what are the factors that really do lead to my growth and your growth spiritually as a follower of Jesus. And as we enter into this new year, what roles do those factors play in our lives? The first of those factors I would suggest to you is my part. The second one is the part of others. And the third factor is God's part. What's my part in spiritual growth? Well, let me share it with you this way. This week I've been reflecting on, again, the previous year and looking ahead at the coming year and some things that we want to continue doing and some things you want to stop doing. And one of those things I've thought about quitting and stopping doing is the fitness center. I joined the fitness center in Chesapeake in July of this year. And can I tell you, it does not work. My biceps are no larger than they were the day I joined. And I just think it's a waste. I own my key ring. I have a key fob that gets me in. I mean, I can go in and scan myself in. And every month, these people take money out of my bank account. They just take it right out of there every month as a fee for my membership. And what good has it done me? Nothing. It doesn't work. So I think that I should quit. Anyone have any thoughts as to why it does not work? Oh, we got to go. Well, that's true, Max. Actually, I have gone. I've gone 3 or 4 times in the last 5 months, at least, I'm sure. It's kind of an absurd illustration, but you get it. If I want to physically develop my body, and I want to just be buff and lean and mean, Gary Sanders is my inspiration, I'm telling you. Gary's a workout guy, and he's worked out consistently for years, and he inspires me, but not that much, you can tell. So, but I am inspired, Gary, seriously. But the reason that he's fit the way he is because he's made a commitment to be that way. And he does his part by going to the gym and by eating healthy. And you see, we have a part in the same way in our spiritual development. Recognize that some people just say, well, that stuff doesn't work. I mean, you know, they haven't bothered to read their Bible very much. So they're not really sure what it says, but I'm sure it doesn't work. And I'm going to quit going to that church because that just doesn't do me any good. Well, I've been a couple of times in the year and it didn't do anything for me. You see, we have a part in growing spiritually. If it is our desire to grow up to be more like Christ, we need to avail ourselves of the opportunities that are here for us. We have to own our part in our spiritual growth and development and maturity. It's important for us. It's important for us to recognize that others have a part in our growth. You see, the really neat thing about this is that God did not make us for isolation. God made us to be in relationship with himself and with other people. God made us to be in community. He said to Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. There need to be key relationships in your life. Others have a part in our spiritual growth. Do you realize that this church, not the building, this church, the people of this church, the people of God, consistently preaches the Word of God week in and week out. Many of you faithful in teaching others the Word of God through your life groups. This group, this church is committed to equipping and training and developing disciples. We're committed more than ever this coming year to developing missionary followers of Jesus who are marked by their love for God, their love for others, and their commitment to live the mission. You see, being connected to other believers in your life is essential. It's not optional. It's an essential part of your healthy, normal spiritual growth and development. You need to be connected. Now, you knew I would get to this, but you need to be a part of a life group this year, okay? You need to be connected to a life group. Not because that's my job here, but because it is essential for your ongoing well-being and spiritual health. You see, being in relationship with a group of people that allows you to experience biblical community, where other people also share in the interest of your spiritual growth and development and maturity. Colossians 1:28, the Apostle Paul says, I make it my aim. It is my prayer that I would present every man complete in Christ. He said, you know, God, I don't want to cross that finish line and have some people limping along. I want to have invested and helped every individual in this body grow to become complete in Christ. And can I just say to you that as far as others' part in your growth, it may be that the next step in your growth is that you would not be just a part of a life group. You'd be leading a life group. Why do I say that? Because growth happens at a different level now when all of a sudden you have the responsibility for caring for the growth and maturity of others. What you will discover in that journey is that those other people you're caring for will have much to speak into your life. And that God will use those relationships to sharpen you and to grow you up and to help you attain a new level of height in your own spiritual maturity. So it's not just that I've got to do it all by myself, but it's that we get to do it together. And maybe the most exciting part of this for me is God's part. You recognize that the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, said, look, some have planted and some have watered, but God gave the increase. There's this mystical part of this that I can't understand completely or that I can't explain to you fully, but I know that God has a part that he plays in bringing growth in the body of Christ in this church, and he does that by bringing growth into my life and your life individually. Paul said it in a different way to the church at Philippi. He said, look, I am confident of this one thing, that he, God, who began this good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He said that God has started something in your life that he himself is committed to finishing in your life, and he's going to accomplish that for his purposes. To the church at Rome, he said it this way, that those whom God foreknew did he also predestine to become conformed to the image of his firstborn, of Christ. You recognize that the day you turn from your sin and by faith you place your trust in Jesus Christ, you were born spiritually into God's family as an infant. And God committed himself at that moment to your progression and to your growth into Christ's likeness. It is his plan to shape you more and more into the image of Christ every day. Some ways, God may be more committed to and may care more about your spiritual growth than even you or I do about our own. God desires for you to become like Christ. When I look at that, I think about how is it that God does that? Well, in one sense, he does that through all the normal ways that we would think. Through the proclamation of God's word, it is here that you experience growth at times. You hear God speak to you when you are gathered together in corporate worship, and you get it. And you respond to what God is doing in your life. Through your own study of God's word, or through being connected with a Bible study group, with a life group, being engaged there, you recognize that God is growing you up and shaping you. Through the development of your prayer life, through the development of certain disciplines and habits in your life, spiritually you recognize that God brings growth along the way through those. Can I share with you there's another way that we miss sometimes? We miss that God does some of his greatest work and brings some of the greatest growth through our hardships. Through our hardships. Now, Jan and I sometimes tease one another at our house when one of us is going through a difficult time, and we have this little saying in our house. It's like, okay, so did you not expect a hard life? I mean, did you expect life to be easy? You thought it was going to be easy? The truth is, suffering is a part of following Jesus. And we are prone to forget that. We are so prone to forget that in these moments of suffering, God is at work behind the scene, that he's doing something amazing, something more than we could ever accomplish on our own and through those other normal means. I don't know what 2016 has been for you, but it may have been a year of hardships. My guess is that if not now, in the future, you're going to look back and see there was this monumental growth that took place in your life, and it happened during those hardships. Christmas Eve, I had the privilege of baptizing a young lady named Tracy, and it was such a joy to baptize her because I had had the privilege of leading her to Christ in my office just a few days before. But the real story is how she got to my office. You see, she began coming to this church through the witness and the encouragement of some other friends. And they invited her and encouraged her to come to a grief share group that happens on Wednesday evenings in our church. And it was through that process that she came there because she had had a loss in her life. Her mother died earlier in the year, and she was navigating that journey of grief. She and others recognized she needed some help in doing that. Note to self, all of us need help. All of us need help sometimes. She took a step. And she realized in this group that there were people in this group that had something she didn't have. Now, you know what that was, and I know what that was. It was Jesus. She saw that in other people. It was through her hardship, through the death and the loss of a loved one, that she was drawn to Christ. Great growth this year for her. Tremendous growth. But there's another part to that story. How did we get a grief share group here? Because another family in our church had a loss. In the time of what was a tragic death, God began to navigate this other family through their journey of healing. And they realized that there was a role of the wounded healer to play. As they began to navigate through their grief, God led them to say, you need to be helping others. So you recognize that through two deaths and two hardships, that God brought about two different kinds of parallel growth in the lives of these families and in the lives of many others. And so I don't know what 2016 has been for you, so it may not have been this joyous year and this bed of roses, but the truth is, I believe that you'll discover
As a follower of Christ, if you'll allow God to do His part in your life, He will use those things that are hard and difficult and painful in our lives. And He will ultimately bring glory to Himself, and He will grow us up to be mature in Christ. He will use that. You know that Psalm 34:18, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, says that God is near to the brokenhearted. The moments in our life when we feel like God is the most distant, could not be farther away, the psalmist affirms that is when He is very near. Don't miss it. Don't miss it this year when you're going through difficult days to recognize it's a reminder, it's a red flag, it's a flashing neon sign that says God is near. Let God grow you up this year. What do we do with this? Let me wrap this up. Take a look back. Let me just ask you to look back over 2016. Did you grow in wisdom like Jesus? Did you grow? Do you see how that you've gained knowledge and you've learned how to properly apply that knowledge in a right and a good way? Can you see evidence of making good choices using judgment and discernment that indicate wisdom in your life? Good. Thank God for that. If not, don't give up. Ask God to give you wisdom. What about stature? Using those spiritual terms I talked about just a moment ago, being a spiritual infant. Would you just write those down for me just a moment? Write down infant, and then child, and then young adult and mature adult. You know, an infant is needy. I mean, you have to do 24/7 care for a newborn, because they can't do for themselves. Spiritually, we have to help others who come to faith in Christ begin to grow. An infant needs to know everything. There's nothing that, I mean, they don't know anything when they come into this world. So it is this beginning journey of learning, and there's much that needs to be learned. A spiritual child, like a physical child, sometimes is confused. Sometimes they're kind of black and white in their thinking. Sometimes they're focused on themselves. Spiritually, we can be that same kind of way. You know, a young adult, a teenager, young adult begins to realize that their bodies are now bigger, stronger, more physically capable of doing things they couldn't do before. And they are able to begin to use the gifts that they have to be able to bless others. And they begin to think about others, not just themselves. Maybe the same thing is a similar parallel spiritually for us. Then a mature adult. In our case, we would just use the terms live the mission. That's the person that, like Jesus, says, I get up to make God smile today. I mean, my purpose in life is to live for God's glory. And I'm really just far more concerned about others. See other people more important than myself. Good picture for us of a spiritually mature individual. Where do you fit on that spectrum? Infant, child, young adult, mature adult? Well, before you mark that, go back above infant. I need you to write one more word. Just write the word dead, D-E-A-D, dead, okay? That may sound odd, but let me explain what I mean by that. In a group of people this size, it's not a safe assumption that everyone's on that growth spectrum. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we were dead in the trespasses of our sin. Remember I told you that we've all sinned, and sin results in death. That's the penalty. That's the payment for sin. We are not physically born into this world already signed up for God's family. The Bible says that we must be born again spiritually into God's family. And so there has to come this place, this moment in time where we move from death to life, where we move from darkness to light, where we move from unbelief to faith in Jesus. That's what triggers that miraculous change in our life that moves us onto this continuum of growth where we can even be a spiritual infant. This has nothing to do with our chronological age. It has everything to do with our spiritual age of growing. Place a check mark on there somewhere. Because if you are not on that growth chart, it may mean that maybe I've not ever made a commitment of my life to Christ. And if that's the case, then you need to begin this journey by being born into God's family. Well, what about favor with God? Have you seen the grace of God in your life this year? Can you see where that's been? Thank God for that. Have you seen favor with other men, with other people? Has God allowed other people to come into your life? people that he's given you the privilege of investing in them and helping them grow and develop in their walk with Jesus. Maybe he's allowed you to lead them to Jesus, to share your faith with them. Thank God for that. Those are great markers and great indicators. But what about the year to come? You know, the good news is we're not stuck here. Wherever you are today, you're not stuck here. God has you on a path of growing up and becoming mature in Christ, continuing to grow in him. I don't know how all that will happen this year, but I know those three ways that I said, that are the three elements that affect growth, are true. And I would encourage you about that this year. It's natural that we would expect that members of this body would grow up. The writer of Hebrews says, by now, most of you should have been teachers. What was he doing? He was casting a vision for expecting that growth is the normal pattern of development. That needs to happen for us in 2017. I'm always excited at this time of the year just to think about who is it that God's going to bring into the life of this church. Many of you sitting here today were not here a year ago because God's brought you into this family. I don't know what growth is ahead for us, but I believe great growth is in store for us if we will commit ourselves to that journey of what God has for us in 2017 and will allow him to use us in the ways that he desires. So what do? Do your part. For 2017, I want to encourage you to do your part. Put yourself in a place where you can grow. Be connected with a life group. You see, it's only in that group, or only in a group of believers like that who are committed to helping you grow, that you're going to experience biblical community and true godly fellowship. You need that in your life. I encourage you to be regular in worship. You see, it's only by being collectively gathered here with the body of Christ that you're going to experience what God does in this moment. I know you can watch it on the internet later and get the information. That's good. That's different than experiencing what God is doing in this moment, in this place, being with the people of God here. I encourage you to give generously. You see, only when you begin to give back to God what is his already, what he's already said is holy to him, only when we begin to give that back and trust him and give of our first fruits, not of our last fruits, are we going to experience that God is the provider and supplier of our every need according to his riches and glory in Christ. You will never know that until you take that step of faith and do that. I want to encourage you to be faithful this year in doing that. Stepping out to serve. I believe that as you step out to serve, it's only there that you experience the joy of seeing God use you to have an impact on the lives of other people and on their spiritual growth and maturity. There's a difference. I watched ball games yesterday. There is a difference between being a spectator in the stands and watching games and being a player on the field. I want to encourage you to be a player on the field this year in 2017 in this game of life that God's called you to be a part of. Serve. Share your faith. Share your faith this year. You see, it's only in being bold and sharing the faith that you have in Jesus with others that you're going to experience the joy of seeing other people come to faith in Christ. I've put up here on the front, at the exits as we go out in just a moment, just some invitation cards. I'm going to ask you today, even to make a commitment, just in this simple journey of sharing your faith of this week. We've put out about 1,000 cards this morning, and I'm going to ask you to help me distribute 1,000 invitations this week just as a way of bearing witness of Christ. I use this little card in a simple way. I would just say to people, do you ever have questions about God? I do. And we'd like to invite you to our church because we'd love to talk with you and help you find some answers to those. But maybe in the meantime, I want to direct you to this little website in the back. It has some short videos of some of the most commonly asked questions people have about God. I want to give you that. I want to give you an invitation to be a part of our church. A simple way, but we never get to experience the joy of seeing other people come to Christ if we don't sow that seed and share our faith in Christ with them. Allow other people to do their part this year, 2017. You recognize that there are men and women in this church that teach faithfully every week. They are committed to doing their part to helping you grow. Wednesday week, our pastor will be starting a brand new series on Wednesday nights. 5 weeks, we're going to go through the Gospel of John. Make yourself available for that. Place yourself under the regular teaching of God's Word. Allow other people to be a part of your journey of growth this year. And then lastly, let God do his part. And that's where we'll end today. I'm just going to ask you today to make the beginning of this year a time of your praying and surrendering to the Lord, to say, God, whatever it takes for you to grow me up this year, I want to grow. I don't want to remain where I am forever. I want to continue to be growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. I believe 2017 can be an incredible year for our church. But our church will grow to the extent that I'm growing, you're growing, and 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 you're growing. The growth of our church is not about the number of people that fill the parking lot or the number of people that sit in pews. The growth of our church has everything to do with what's happening in my life and your life and how God is growing us up to become complete in Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, what a joy to be a part of this family of faith. God, I'm so thankful for the growth that has occurred over this past year in the lives of so many people. God, I'm thankful for the growth in my own life. Father, I pray that you would help us as a church to be committed to walking closely with you over the course of this year. God, may at the end of next year we look back and see that you've allowed us to grow like Jesus did in wisdom, our spiritual stature, and in favor with God and man. God, would you draw us to yourself even now? For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.